The question today is, can false preachers overthrow the faith of a person? I suppose this question would be referring to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 18, where really the only time in the scripture it even mentions overthrowing the faith of some. Here's what it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 18. Let me read verse 17 with it. As Paul is talking to Timothy, trying to encourage him in discouraging conditions that he was in. And he talked about the false teachers and false preachers. He said, their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. He gave these two men example, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So I suppose the question would be based upon this particular verse where it says, can false preachers overthrow the faith of a person? Well, you've got to understand what kind of faith he's talking about, because you realize something. If a man has been saved by the grace of God, can his faith be overthrown? Can the faith as for saving faith be overthrown? I do not believe so, because the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, in the time when the Antichrist is going to be ruling upon the earth, doing many exploits, he's going to be doing things that would be amazing. He's even going to be raising people from the dead, seemingly. Now, many of them may be illusions, like the so-called magicians do or whatnot. I don't know how it will be, but he says this in Matthew 24. Let me just turn over there and read that where I get it exactly right. But in Matthew 24:24, he makes this statement. He said, here, and he's talking about the Antichrist being on the scene, and he says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now you realize something there, if you'll read what it's saying, that even, and then he's talking about not only the Antichrist, but even in the last days, there's going to be more false teachers, more false preachers, so-called false prophets, and that will show these great signs and wonders that would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Now, he put that in there to say it's not possible to deceive the elect. And by the way, the elect here is not talking about Israel. It's talking about the saints of God. It's talking about the spiritual Jew, the ones that's in on the promise of Abraham, spiritually speaking, as Romans chapter 2 spoke about. So therefore, he's talking about the saints of God, the elect, those that's been saved, that's had a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction done in their hearts in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And therefore, he says that it's impossible to deceive them. Now, they may be shaken by something as far as a different terminology or a different word comes on the scene by some, even a preacher has different terminology against their preconceived ideas, I guess you could say, or against tradition. But if they've been saved by the grace of God, they may be shaken for a moment, but I'll tell you, the rock of God standeth sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. The rock, who's the Lord Jesus, that they're standing on, will not be shaken out from under them. And when even though they may be shaken and they may be disturbed for a moment, but directly the Holy Ghost of God, who guides men into all truth, who lives inside them, will tell them, "Hey, that's more. That just gives you more ammunition for where you're at, more assurance of where you're at." And in other words, you're more stable than you've ever been before. So you have a person that's been saved by the grace of God. His faith cannot be overthrown. You say, does that mean 2 Timothy, when Paul said that, and they're about to overthrowing the faith of some, that that's not scriptural? Oh, yes, it's scripture. That's inspired by the Lord. As he wrote that and said, these men who preached the error concerning the Lord Jesus and saying the resurrection's already past. They were saying, in essence, there's not going to be any more resurrection. There's not going to be a future resurrection. There's no hope for you. There's no hope for your loved ones in the grave. So this would be equivalent to what some would say, that there's no millennium reign, that the millennium reign, we're living in it now, and different things. I don't know what all they could say. It'd be equivalent also, I think, of saying how it talked in 2 Peter about how they're denying that the Lord even came in that sense. In other words, it says there in Peter, let me just turn over there and see if I can find that for you right now. But 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 1, he said, but there were false prophets among those people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall be damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction. They deny even that the Lord bought them, that He paid the price on Calvary. There's all kind of doctrines flying around today, but the saints of God, those who genuinely have been saved, those who have exercised saving faith, they cannot be overthrown. But Paul did say these men overthrew the faith of some. Now, what does that mean when he overthrew the faith of some? Well, you realize something. The Bible talks in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse number 12, about the faith of Abraham. And he talks basically, if you connect that with Galatians 3, where it refers to Abraham, he's talking about the fact, blessed is the man who walks in the steps of faith of Father Abraham. So you've got to understand Abraham's faith. You see, we're living in a day when people say, oh, you've got to have faith. I ask you, what kind of faith to be saved? You've got to have saving faith to be saved. The Bible says about Abraham in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, in what we call the chapter of faith, that Abraham left Ur of Chaldees by faith, looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Somebody said, oh, Abraham was saved. No, he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved until Genesis 15:6. In other words, you read it, what the Scripture says in Genesis 15:6, which was 9 years after he got in the land of Canaan. He said he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. It's quoted in Romans 4, Galatians 3, and James 2. That's quoted as what saith the Scripture. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Folks, you do not have imputed righteousness until you've exercised saving faith. But yet he said, blessed is the man who walks in the step of faith of Father Abraham. In other words, Abraham, what kind of faith did he leave Ur of Chaldees with? I don't know exactly all about it, except I do know this, as God showed me this. I believe that somebody came over and preached to them who was in idolatry, all of his family. That probably was Shem, who talked to him about how God that floated the boat for them in their day, because he's still alive in Abraham's day. And Abraham was the only one that believed enough to look for a city. He was not yet saved, but he had an intellectual faith, and faith will work. If you've got an intellectual faith that God exists, it'll lead to a seeking faith, and he sought for a city. And so he pulled up stakes and left. Now, God said, leave your city. And God spoke to him, by the way. See, a lot of people don't believe God can speak to a lost man, but he does. He did, and he will, and he has, and he'll do it again. In fact, he said in Psalm 25:8, he'll teach sinners in the way. That's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. So therefore, Abraham moved toward a city, looked for a city, but he didn't do what God said. God said, leave your kindred, leave your country. He didn't do either one of them. He said, go to a place, I'll show you as you go. He did not leave his kindred. He did not leave his country. His dad went with him. Lot went with him. And he stopped in Haran, which is still in Mesopotamia, in his country. And then when his dad died, looked like his kinfolks getting out of his way, God spoke to him again. That was probably maybe 32 years after he left the Ur of Chaldees that he stayed in Haran. And his dad died when he was 75 years old. And God spoke to him again in Genesis 12 and said, leave your country, leave your kindred, and go to a place I'll show you. And the Hebrew says, as you go, I'll show you that place. What did he do? He didn't obey God. He didn't leave his kindred. He carried Lot with him. And Lot got him in problems, had problems. But yet God was still good enough to him to enlarge the promise after he got in the land of Canaan at 75 years of age. And he said, I'll give you this land to thy seed. Now, he'd never been told about the seed. How can you believe something with saving faith if you've never been told about it? How can you believe on Jesus if he's never been revealed to you? And so as a result, he had a saving faith that led to a seeking faith that came after, and he went to Egypt as a lost man. He fought the battle of Chaldolomer as a lost man, came back and had victory over that. And in other words, and the Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, after these things. In other words, all those things shows us that he did not have saving faith, but yet when God revealed himself to him some way, somehow there that day, even though he's frustrated, but he believed God, and he came to the point where had imputed righteousness, and as a result, that faith can never be overthrown. But if a man has a seeking faith or a intellectual faith, that faith can be overthrown. When you've listened to false teachers and you embrace false teachers and you get short-circuited to the work of the Holy Ghost in your life, your faith can be overthrown and you'll fall back. you apostatize. You'll fall away from the truth. And that's a dangerous thing. Hebrews 6, 4 and 6 says, if you do it, it's impossible to be saved and repentance to be renewed again for you because you've turned away from the faith, intellectual faith, a seeking faith, but not yet to saving faith. See, the Bible said the man needs to turn the broad way to the narrow way, as he speaks about that. Broad's the way which leadeth unto destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, and narrow's the way which leadeth, and straight is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find what? Find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And on that narrow way, you've got to be taught as a sinner. You've got to exercise an intellectual faith and a seeking faith. And if you will continue, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you turn back because of preachers and teachers that are false, leading you astray, telling you this is salvation, giving you a little easy believism plan, a little 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, or whatever it might be, then these people, these false teachers, are overthrowing your faith in a sense, but you will turn back and you'll apostatize, is what the word actually is. You'll turn from truth and go back to the broad way. Now, most people call turning from the broad way to the narrow way, they call that salvation because something transpired, because you've been awakened. That is not salvation. And if you hold on to that, you'll die and you'll go to hell. And people come along and give you things. People get out of church a lot of times in that condition because their faith was overthrown. The faith they had was only intellectual faith. May have been a seeking faith. May have not have been. I don't know what it was, but they turned away. And so as a result, he said, and what do they call it? They call it backsliding. Backsliding. The word for backslide is apostatize, falling away from the truth. And they'll go back to the broad way. And then people say, oh, so-and-so's been out of church for years, but he's just backslidden. No. He's lost. He's undone. He's practicing sin naturally. And God says a man who does that is not saved. You see, God's people will not be deceived. They will not be overthrown if you've exercised saving faith. But as you go down the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, exercising your intellectual faith and your seeking faith, that faith will work if you'll continue, John 8, 31, 32 said, and bring you to a saving faith, and you will know the truth. You will be intimate with the Lord Jesus. You'll be saved because He'll grant you repentance and He'll grant you faith, and you will be saved. And that faith will not be deceived. May be shaken, but not about be deceived, because it's stable and it'll go through. And so therefore, when it talks about the question, can the false preacher overthrow the faith of a person? Only those who are not yet saved. All those who are on the narrow way leading to the straight gate, who have intellectual faith and seeking faith, their faith can be overthrown, but not one who's exercised saving faith. That cannot be overthrown. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air. Or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.